Fair. I'm board-certified professional organizer Kathy Burns. I'm really glad you're here. This podcast is designed for busy entrepreneurs just like you who want to take better control of your business and move forward with less stress and more success. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. The Organize Energize podcast is produced for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at thepodcast.organizeandenergize.com. Come back often and feel free to add this podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow me on Twitter at Organize Energy and Facebook. All links are in the show notes. Now let's get into the show. Hi, everyone. This is Kathy, and I'm back with Gail Goddard. Gail spent more than 20 years organizing financial data before turning her skill and passion for conquering clutter into being a professional organizing owner. As an owner of the Clutter Fairy, she's a board-certified professional organizer, just like myself, and she coordinates the Houston Coaching Meetup, a support group that meets every month, helping people declutter their life. I love speaking with other professional organizers, so I wanted to have Gail on the show, so maybe you can get a few extra tips about how to get your life better organized and energized. Hey, Gail, thanks so much for being on the show.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, okay, you were a CPA for years, right?
Yeah.
So, what made you shift into becoming a professional organizer?
So, I had to have a surgery, and I was off for 6 weeks for the first time since college. And I went to go visit some friends while I was convalescing, and they had to sweep the couch off for me to be able to sit down. And we share a hobby in common of beading. I do beaded jewelry, and they do too, which is how we're friends. And so there was beads all over the living room. And as I was sitting on the couch, I was like, I could help you guys organize the beads. So we started doing that summer for a couple of hours on a Friday night or a Saturday. We would work on organizing the beads. And there was some point where I was sitting there putting beads into piles and feeling like I am having so much fun right now. This is the coolest thing, organizing the beads. And I looked up and they were miserable. They were not having fun at all. But it was my aha moment that, ooh, I can do something that I think is fun that other people really don't like to do. And that's how I found NAPO and found a local chapter. And within 6 months, I had started my business.
I absolutely love that story. You know, I had time off. I had a year off to reinvent myself, not due to an injury. I just had that time. And without the space of having like time to get clear and see what you wanted to do, you know, it's hard to shift. And I did the same thing. I started helping a girlfriend declutter, and I'm like, this is really fun. And she's like, oh my God.
Oh my God, no.
Right? You know, it takes weirdos like us to be able to offer that service to the world, because, you know, a lot of people are so intimidated by it. And for us, it just brings us joy, which means we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Right.
Right, right, right. Exactly.
Yeah. That's what it's all about. Boy,
and beads, I love it.
Beads and beads and beads. Boy, that takes a while to organize, but.
Right. But it was so, it was the perfect project for me to realize I love beading, and sorting the beads is as much fun as doing the bead work. And for them, it was like, please kill me now. Why are you still here? Why are we still doing this? So it was a very obvious dichotomy of I'm having fun and they're not having fun. It was perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. And then trying to make it fun, you know, it's always about, let's make this a game. You know, it's not like, you know, things are going to die if you don't get this organized, you know, let's just have some fun doing it.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's all about the creativity. That's a really, really good story. So as an entrepreneur, when you first started your business, now, were you a CPA working for a firm, or did you have your own business?
No, actually I worked in a corporate environment. So I was working in my last 15 years of my 25 years, I was in a cemetery funeral home consolidator business. So I worked in a corporate office of a company that bought and sold cemeteries and funeral homes.
I have a good friend who does that right now, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, small world. So whenever you started your business, what was the biggest challenge that you think you had as you were launching?
Oh, it was 100% fear. It was fear of being self-employed. I had worked in corporate offices since I got out of college. I had always been an employee, so that the business was somebody else's responsibility. And I spent 2 years doing organizing in the morning and accounting in the afternoon. And I kept I was in a mastermind group at the time. And there was this one girl in the mastermind group, Jan, who used to say to me, "When are you quitting your job? When are you quitting your job? When are you quitting your job?" And she just said it over and over for months. And finally, around the 2-year mark, I was like, okay, I'm terrified. I'm totally terrified. I cannot imagine that I can be a business owner, but I really love this work so much. And I am not going to let that stop me. I cannot let my own terror prevent me from doing this. And I had to tell my mother at the time, because my mother was also like, "You're going to be self-employed. That's really scary. What if you starve to death?" Like, she was spiraling out about in a mom way about it as well. And yeah. I had to have this conversation with my mother and say, "Look, I'm scared enough. I cannot be scared for both of us. you have to get on board, because I'm already terrified and I really want to do this." And to her credit, she totally got on board. She's like, "Fine, I'm with you. We're doing it." And I just took the step into the air and hoped that I landed okay. And 15 years later, I'm still here. So it worked out. But it was terrifying in the moment, you know?
Yeah, very much absolutely. So. And, you know, you and I kind of started around the same time. I've been doing it about 17 years. And, you know, when I came home and said, "I know what I'm going to be. I'm going to be a professional organizer and image consultant." And my husband's looking at me like I'm crazy.
Like, what? Like,
really? What? Is that a job? I'm like, yeah, it's a job, actually. And it was right when Clean Sweep was coming out, you know, was out. And so people finally knew what maybe a professional organizer was. So that was really good timing.
Yeah. That's part of what sold me on it too, because all those shows, I had been watching all those shows and I was fascinated with the organizer on the show. And I had never made the leap from watching them to I could do that until I tried to help my friend.
Okay, good.
It was part of the jail, right? That they put it out there in the television shows to show us it was a possibility.
Yeah, we are really, really blessed that people actually knew what we were becoming as it was becoming an industry thing, you know. And now NAPA is going really strong, of course. And a lot of us are more board, you know, more of us are board certified, so that's fantastic,
right?
Yeah. So if you had to, and there's so many women, I don't know if you read this in Forbes, but 60% of women, corporate America, women are thinking about leaving their jobs and branching out. It's a big, huge, they're calling it a grand exit or something.
Right.
So if you had to give a piece of advice to a woman who's looking to get out of corporate, just like you did, what would you say to them? What would be their first step that you would recommend?
I think the first step is reach out to all of your network, because you're not as alone as you think you are. And there are people that will be in a mastermind group with you, or there are people that will counsel you at church, or there are people that you know that are your friends that will support you in doing something like this. And I think as women, we get taught to be paralyzed by fear instead of being fearful and taking action anyway. Men get taught to be afraid and shut up and be a man and do it anyway. They tell men to launch, and they tell women to panic. And I think it's part of our cultural programming as women that we have to be convinced that it's okay for us to go and do something like that. And I'm here to tell you, I have not regretted it. As terrified as I was when I thought I was going to leave corporate and go do this work, I have never regretted it for a minute. Even, you know, in year 3, when I had a month where I had no clients for a whole month and I thought I wasn't going to be able to pay the rent. And even in that moment, I wasn't wishing I could go back to my old job. And so I think whatever it takes to reach out to the people that can be supportive and help you fill in the things that you think that are missing, to give you guidance about how to go forward, so that you can get past your "I'm paralyzed by fear" and be fearful and do it anyway.
I love that, you know, and you did it the way a lot of people do it, where you do half time and half time. You know, you're launching your job on the side. I tell people that all the time. You don't have to go cold turkey.
Right. You don't have to run in and quit your job and stomp your foot and say, "Forget you people, I'm leaving."
Right. Or, you know, or you can just do that and just do it, you know, right. Which is what I did. But, you know, I'm a serial entrepreneur, so I've always been working for myself anyhow.
And the other thing I'll say too, is that I think we keep waiting to arrive at the perfect place where we've got all of the things in place. And when I went from, hey, I want to be an organizer to having my first workshop, I didn't have it all together. I didn't know everything yet. I just wrote a workshop and went and put it out there. And yep. That is no different than building the first apple in the garage, right?
Like exactly.
You
exactly.
don't have to have all your ducks 100% in a row, and it doesn't have to be perfect before you launch. And if you wait for that perfection, you will never go. And that's like, you can't be so terrified of what might happen. And maybe you've missed something, or maybe you didn't do it right. It's like, who cares? You just got to get out there and do it and keep refining it, because you will keep growing and getting better all the time anyway. And that's definitely going to happen at the beginning, just like it does in the middle, right?
There's always going to be something that happens. When I wrote my first book, one of my mantras was perfection is overrated and simply not worth it.
Yes.
You know, you can't get stuck. You just can't get stuck trying to make everything perfect, because nothing's ever perfect anyhow. Exactly. And even if it is perfect today, it might not be perfect tomorrow because everything changes. So, so I think that's really good advice. You know, don't get stuck in that. And ladies, if you're listening out there and you want to jump, just jump. You know, what's the worst that can happen? I don't know. You fall on your face and you get another corporate job, but right. I tell you what, you won't, because you end up saying, oh my gosh, this is so much fun. You know, once you find what you want to do that makes you joy, you know, whatever brings you joy, I think is what we're here to do in life.
I think that's one of the clues about self-employment too. Like, you better be loving it. You don't want to just launch a self-employed. You don't want to start this business and be in charge of to like sell insurance unless you love selling insurance. Right.
Yeah.
It needs to be something that you have a great passion for. And if you don't know what that is yet, then it's not quite time to leap.
Yeah. And if you do find something that you're like, I love doing this, that's probably what you should be doing for a job.
Yeah, right.
I'm with you on that. And once you start your job, I think the tip that I would give people is, you know, just take for instance, as professional organizers, we all start as generalists, and then we figure out what little niche we want to go into and who we want to work with. Who do we like to work with? Do we like sorting beads? I personally love sorting beads. I also like working in garages, but I also love working in the closet. But some people would say, I don't do garages. I don't do beads. I do corporate, right? So whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. You just model your business as you go. And as you learn what you really love to do within each profession that you choose to jump into, that's what it's all about, you know, making it your own, right?
Exactly. And every story of a successful entrepreneur starts with, well, we had this idea and we threw it out there and this bombed and that bombed and we borrowed money, we mortgaged the house and that bombed and we talked to this guy and that bombed and then we hit. Like, it's never a straight perfect path, and waiting for that perfect path is not going to work. It's never going to happen. And I think organizers in general, a lot of us are a little perfectionists. That's part of what makes us good organizers, right? But that it also can be the Achilles heel that prevents you from launching into the next cool thing that you want to do.
Yeah. And you know, whoever you are out there listening to this, you know, you don't have to become a pro organizer, obviously.
Right.
whatever makes you feel joy, that's what it's all about. So think about what you like to do in your pastime. Think about what you do for your friends. They're like, you're really good at this. And you're like, this was the blast. I love that. You know, that's how I started. It sounds like that's how you started, you know, 100%. helping a girlfriend clear her clutter. And she's like, you're really good at this. And I'm like, oh, well, yeah, this is just kind of natural. And isn't this fun? And she's like, no.
Not loving it at all. Isn't that
true? You know what? Oh, go on.
I was in that moment of, I've been doing accounting for 25 years. I'm good at it, but I don't love it. It's not, you know, it's like, it's just this job that I go to every day. And God, I did everything that I could to make it more palatable. And it just was not. And I didn't know until I knew. Right. I didn't have any idea that organizing was coming down the track to find me. So I didn't start my work until I was 45. So, you know, I was a late bloomer. I've always been organized. I was doing it when I was a little kid, but it never gelled as a business idea for me until I was in my middle ages. Right. And so it wasn't that I was watching that path come down the road towards me. I had no clue until I had a clue. And so I remember being very, very discouraged with, this can't be my life. I cannot be doing this for the rest of my life. I am not happy doing this all the time. It makes me crazy. But I didn't know what else to do. And eventually it appeared for me. And that was, and I've been grateful for that moment ever since, because there's a difference between doing what you're good at and doing what you love to do. And I now know the difference of, this is really a passion for me instead of a skill that I have. I have the skill, but it is a passion that I enjoy every day. And even when the day sucks, I still go back to it thinking it's a good day.
Yeah. You know, in what you said there, it leads me to something that I think a lot whenever I work with my entrepreneurial clients, that your skills are generally what I say, a God gift. And it's generally your skills are something that you really enjoy doing. So if you have the skill set that also makes you happy when you do it, yeah, then that's your golden ticket right there to whatever business you want to start, right?
Exactly. So, that's totally it.
Yeah.
And it's what will keep you going as you try and fail, try and fail, try and fail. You still love doing it, and you're going to keep trying to hit it until you get the sweet spot that works for you. And
absolutely.
You need that passion to feel you past, right?
That's right. You got to feel it.
And
That's what keeps you energized as you're going through a business, you know, because there's always stumbling blocks. And the question is, how do you keep your energy when you're feeling like, oh, you know, can't you just go back to what you started your business to begin with, mm-hmm, and see if you're still doing that, or if you got waylaid by a bunch of other stuff, you know, mm-hmm, like you're not delegating out the QuickBooks, so you're not delegating out the tech stuff. You know, at the beginning of my career, I couldn't delegate out my tech stuff, and I'm terrible at it. I can't do it. So now that I have a team that does it, I'm like, oh my God, I'm free. All I have to do is talk. Right. Yay.
Yeah, exactly. That's 100% true. Yeah. I couldn't do it without my tech guy either. Cause I do not, all the stuff that happens is all stuff he does in the back end. Like I just show up and talk.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Totally right.
And the beautiful thing is that we're helping those people as entrepreneurs do what they love to do. Mm-hmm, you know,
absolutely.
My tech wizard loves tech. She just lives for it. So it's like, yay, someone likes to do it. Not me.
Not me. Thank God. Right.
Yeah.
That's totally true.
Well, Gail, this has been such a pleasure speaking with you. And I really, really appreciate your time and giving us some insight into what it's like to jump off that corporate America bridge. Mm-hmm. And obviously you've done it right. You know, you are the clutter fairy. So
thank you. Love it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate
it. You take care of yourself. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Of course. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you want to hear more, feel free to subscribe on the platform of your choice. Also, if you feel so inclined, I would truly appreciate a good rating from you to me. Have a stellar day.